Transaction Capital, the owner of SA Taxi and Transaction Capital Risk Services, or TCRS as it's known, reported full-year headline earnings up 18% to 682 million rand, and it's achieved a remarkable 20% compound annual growth in headline earnings per share since listing back in 2012. So some record that. The undoubted highlight of this result was a deal announced yesterday that sees the South African National Taxi Council, SANTACO, acquire a quarter of SA Taxi through a groundbreaking ownership transaction valued at some 1.7 billion rand. CEO David Hurwitz is on the line. Evening, David. Congratulations on what looks to be a significant and transformational deal for you.
Thanks very much, Michael. Yes, the deal is really transformational, and we think it's a first of its kind, and hope one which business can replicate in the future to try and partner with their industries.
Now, if you look at it, SA Taxi, as we've discussed in the past, is a vertically integrated taxi platform. So you provide finance, you provide insurance, you provide all the allied services offered to minibus taxi operators, things like services and the like. So the deal with SANTACO effectively gives the taxi operators some skin in the game here. How is it structured?
Yes, that's absolutely the purpose of the deal. Is first of all to align interests, but from SANTACO's perspective, yes, they now participate in every vertical that we participate in. In terms of the financial structuring, the deal's been funded by two of our longest standing and largest debt investors, which is Future Growth, which is part of the Old Mutual Group, and Standard Bank. We sold a 25% stake in our business, which is a meaningful stake to the industry. For 1.7 billion, the two funders provided about 1.2 billion rands worth of funding, and we facilitated the remaining 500 million with vendor finance. What we'll see is about 90% of the dividend flows that we pay to SANTACO going back to reducing debt, but then there is a 10% trickle dividend which will get allocated to different infrastructure and developmental projects, which will then, you know, improve the infrastructure and improve the bus taxi industry. I think just one last thing to add, I know it's a long answer, but the shareholders here are actually SANTACO and a trust representing their broad provincial structures. So this really ensures that the benefits accrue to all levels of the industry and, as I said before, allows all levels of the industry to participate in the entire vertical.
You've segued quite nicely into my next question. I just wanted to double-click on that to get an understanding of exactly who stands to benefit in terms of the SANTACO structure. Who are its members? Just for listeners out there who might have an idea of this umbrella body that represents a large majority of taxi owners, but how does that shareholding work?
Essentially, what happens is that there is a trust set up, which represents, according to the size of the different minibus taxi industries across the country, you know, depending on how big the different minibus taxi industries are in terms of the geography, will determine how much participation that they get into this trust. And as I said, 90% of the flows for the meantime flow straight back to the funders, but there is a 10% trickle which flows through. This gets caught in something called a dividend project committee, which is very, very important. And we actually sit on that committee representing the debt investors, and us together with SANTACO will then look at the different projects in the different regions and allocate this trickle dividend to the different regions to develop these projects. Most of them are infrastructural or around driver training, business training, etc. So we really think this will be very, very beneficial, and it does really flow into the industry and the broad-based industry.
Driver training of taxi drivers. I think that is music to many people's ears. And it's I don't mention that lightly. It's an indispensable industry. We've touched on it in the past, David. It's the biggest mover of commuters in the country. It doesn't get any subsidy from government. But I think we've all had experiences with drivers that don't seem to be sufficiently well trained to be on the road. So that's very encouraging. It's a fine example of shared value. And I think we know Future Growth's ethos. Andrew Cantor's got an excellent reputation in the market of funding projects that demonstrate ESG principles. And this, for me, is a fine example of that.
Yeah, you know, Andrew, in actual fact, was the first funder to SA Taxi when we initiated this business. Well, we bought it out of African Bank. It was initiated in African Bank by my founding shareholders, and we bought it out of African Bank in 2005, and Andrew was the first financier of the business, and he saw that our business is built upon the premise of shared value, which means that our commercial imperatives and our social imperatives are absolutely aligned. And we see this transaction with Sintaka now taking it just to another level, where it's good for business because as we partner the industry, we're able to open up different opportunities. When we and the industry work together, we just see that we can achieve more. We can engage with government better. We can develop products better. So we see this as really expanding our total addressable market. But at the same time, by so doing, we'll develop better products and be able to deliver more affordable products into the industry, which will improve the minibus taxi industry and ultimately ends up improving the lives of 15 million commuters that have to travel in that public transport mode every day.
And if we look at it, South African Taxi has been a resilient business because it's not discretionary spending here. People have to get from their places of work home and vice versa. But we've seen a very challenging environment in South Africa. There's obviously the fuel price going up. We see high minibus taxi prices. Those have been rising quite a lot over the last few years. What sort of products are you considering to offer taxi operators to access finance at a sustainable level? And there's a balancing act for you here, because if you look at your credit loss ratio of 3.3%, it remains within the low end of your risk tolerance of between 3 and 4. But your non-performing loan ratio did increase from 17.2% to 17.7%. So the taxi operators are struggling to repay. But you obviously have to then balance that with pricing accordingly. And your average interest rate of 23.6%, I mean, to most people out there, if you offered them that interest rate to finance a vehicle, they would run a mile and say, no, thank you. But obviously, this is a particular subset of the industry that you're trying to serve. Can we bring that down over time? Because from where I'm sitting, for an industry that is unsubsidized, this is a fantastic deal. But that surely has to come down to improve the lives of the taxi operators and to ensure we can welcome more operators into the space.
That's exactly right. And it's not only about the rate. There are a few things we need to do. But, firstly, on the finance side of the business, which I just really want to remind the listeners that that's only two-thirds of SA Taxi. There's still, a big services business in insurance and other related services. But on the finance side, yes, we do need to try and get our average interest rate down. We did manage to drop it this year. It's come down to 23.6 from about 24.4 a year ago. So it has come down a little bit. But really what the opportunity there is to mobilize cheaper funding into our business. Our average cost of debt is of about just under 11%. And we do raise debt from international governments, but not much from the local South African government. And I think our relationship with Sintaka now will allow us to have a better hearing when we go to government to try and get some capital, hopefully cheaper, to drop our cost of funding. So, Sintaka weren't successful in accessing capital from government. Government doesn't really know how to fund Sintaka. They don't have an equity base. They aren't structured to accept funding. And I think when we went alone, government just viewed us as a corporate or commercial enterprise. Mm. And now when we go together representing the industry, I think we'll have a greater chance of doing that. The other thing that we need to do for minibus taxi operators is to develop products which gives them a share in the vertical. So a great example is we've just launched a product about 6 months ago called the Black Elite Fuel Card. This is a joint venture again with the industry where we've gone together with Sintaka to Shell and said the minibus taxi industry is a big consumer of your product being petrol and fuel, and we need to get some type of cash back on our spend. So through this card, what we're seeing is that minibus taxi operators can get a few cents back per litre that they spend, and this then again allows them to try and afford the installments. So we've started with fuel, and we need to go all the way through to tires, to parts, you know, to glass, you know, windscreens, etc. And you know, we believe that that's another way of getting affordability back into the industry. And then, of course, our insurance business is very efficient. We do most of the repair work wherever possible ourselves, and that allows us to repair insurance accidents at a lower cost, which then allows us to be as competitive as possible on insurance. And in our insurance business, we are different to the finance business, where we're more expensive than a bank. In our insurance business, we are absolutely competitive with the bigger players in that industry.
And I think, once again, back to my earlier point, why this is such a wonderful example of positive partnerships in a sector that has been neglected to a large extent by government over the years. Now, your other side of the business is Transaction Capital Risk Services, TCRS, really embedded in the debt recovery, distressed debt sector. So you basically buy distressed book debts, which then frees up a company's cash flow and strengthens their balance sheet. And it's a business that obviously performed well in the bottom part of the consumer cycle. We saw core headline earnings growth slowing here to 17% from 28%, a good performance, but still slowing down from last year. Do you expect growth from this business to continue to trend downwards as we see the consumer recovering to some extent?
Yeah, so it's really, I mean, first of all, the drop from last year to this year is based on the fact that last year we did acquire a business, well, we acquired a business in the 2016 year. So for the 16 year, we only had the earnings from that business in for a portion of the year, and in the 17 year, we had it for the full year. So that showed big growth from the 16 to 17 year, and now this is normalizing again. We see growth in this business, you know, growing in the mid-teens. And it really is, as you correctly point out, linked to the consumer credit environment. But we do have two parts of the business which operate differently. So in a difficult consumer environment, we are able to buy non-performing loans at a decent price where we can lock in decent margins. But it is very hard to collect in our agency side of the business, where credit extension is contracted. So there isn't much volume for us to work on, and people just don't have money to pay. In a positive environment, we have to pay a little bit more our books, but our agency business does well because people have cash and it's easier to recover debt. So it is kind of very defensive. But as you say, in this type of environment where banks and retailers aren't growing their consumer lending books, we would see growth kind of end up in about the mid-teens in earnings. But there are lots of strategies to keep growth going. We don't only collect for banks. We've diversified sectorially, so we collect for insurers, which is not connected to the credit extension cycle. We collect for SARS. We collect for many municipalities in terms of rates and taxes. So we've diversified. We collect for all the telcos to make sure that there's always work for us to do.
You're not going to be collecting on e-tolls anytime soon. They've got an SPV for that. That's out to tender.
A few years ago, that did go out for tender, and you know, we let that one pass out. It's just a political hot potato. It's one that we think we should be involved in.
A wise move, that one. David, always a pleasure chatting. Congrats on what I mentioned in the beginning was really looks like a transformational deal. I'm sure the champagne is going to taste extra dry and refreshing tonight. Take care.
Michael, thank you.
That was Transaction Capital CEO David Hurwitz. Let's cross now to Pusaletso Peterson, who's standing by with your 6 o'clock news.